Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I don't say this often enough. I really appreciate that you choose to listen to the show and the station throughout the day. You don't have to. You know, I one of the weird things about being in radio is so I used to teach right in the classroom. And in the classroom, you can see the people listening. I mean, not to make it obvious, but, you know, you're talking to 30 people at a time. And you can see if what you're saying is making sense to them. You can see if they're laughing or not laughing. You can see if they're learning or, like, glazed eyes, falling asleep, whatever. When I started doing radio, the weirdest thing was, like, you talk to a wall, you know? And you got a producer, but that's, you know, one person. It's not all that much indication. And so, to me, when I meet people who listen to the show, I'm always, I mean, I know a lot of people do. But I'm still always like, oh, man, thank you. Like, I'm always kind of amazed by it. And I genuinely take it not at all for granted that you do so. Thank you so much for listening. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I think it was a relatively light week from a sort of newsworthy law enforcement perspective at PPD. But you did have, earlier in the week, you had a SWAT call out, right, to somebody inside a home?
Yeah, it was over on Bowling Place Sunday night into Monday morning. Sunday night, about 11:32, we received a call of a disturbance there. Once officers got there, they had information that the individual inside was armed. There was an adult female inside and also several children. Turned out to be 9 small children. And they tried throughout the night to get him to come out of the house, and he refused to do so. So eventually, our SWAT team and negotiations team were dispatched to the scene, and once they got there, it took a little bit less than 5 minutes for this man to decide to surrender peacefully, and that's what happened, and thankfully there were no injuries.
So they didn't have to go in, he came out voluntarily, and was he armed?
I don't believe they found or saw a weapon.
Okay.
During this, but we've been there before, so you have to use intelligence from prior calls.
Okay.
And I believe the third-hand information that we got that notified us of the disturbance did indicate that he had a weapon inside.
Okay, and you said 9 kids in the home, so this could have been a completely different outcome.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, we have to approach very carefully, and that's what happened. We, in a situation like that, you don't get in a hurry. That's why we were there from 11:30 till 5 a.m., because there's no need to get in a hurry, and you have to do things the right way, because anything could go wrong, and with 9 children in the house, it could have been horrific. But the officers on scene, the patrol officers on scene, did a fantastic job with that. And then, like I said, once the negotiators and SWAT got on scene, the individual surrendered without incident. So that's how we want to see it turn out.
And that's one of the things, I know you and I have talked about this many times, and same with the sheriffs, but it still bears repeating, because people have a picture of SWAT as the Rambos of the police world that are there to go in and, you know, kick in doors and shoot bad guys and incapacitate people. But SWAT is a life-saving mission first, foremost, and always. And these negotiations can take hours and hours because you're trying to avoid the use of force, which always puts everybody at risk, right?
Yeah, and that's a myth, and that's something we could talk about on a cop myth sometime and go further into it. That's not what they want at all. They don't want to go in their guns a-blazing. They want it peaceful. And, in fact, in this history of the SWAT team of the Pensacola Police Department, only 1 shot has ever been fired. So
wait, what?
They want an outcome.
Wait, say that again, because I bet people don't know that. Say that again.
In the history of the Pensacola Police Department SWAT team, only 1 shot has been fired. And that was a shot that was being returned. So that officer was fired upon first. So there's not a lot of SWAT teams in this country or in the world that are able to say that, but we can.
Wow. I think I might have known that from before, but it just still, that strikes me as, I mean, great. You know, like, that's impressive. That's a very, very good thing. So, you know, only because I've been kind of going through this, you know, this training a little bit. I mean, a little tiny taste of the training at Scammy County Sheriff's Office facility. The SWAT team, I mean, did they have to do anything else in the house, like, I mean, afterwards, or was there any follow-on? And, you know, I mean, because you never know if it might be just the one guy, right? You never know for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So once the house was cleared, the SWAT team did go in. Once the individuals came out, the SWAT team did go in and clear the house to make sure there weren't anybody in there or any other suspects, and especially people that may be injured inside. So once everybody comes out, it's not over with until the SWAT team clears the house.
Okay. I just think a lot of times you kind of think that, you know, we got there, they came out, it's all over, but you just never know, and you have to make sure that everything is safe for the family or anybody else, right? That makes perfect sense. You kind of mentioned that you'd been to this house before. There was a story out of, I want to say it was Hillsborough County is what I have in my head, elsewhere in Florida, where there was a 19-year-old, I think, son, an adult teenage son, out on that had been having a dispute with the mom. They wind up out on the lawn. The cops had come, and when the cops arrived, he shot his mom, I don't think fatally, based on the story, and also shot one of the police officers who was responding, and then he was taken into custody. The part of the story that caught my attention was that they said they had been there 10 times previously and for varying kinds of like Baker Act or domestics or all this kind of stuff. And so it made me want to ask you the question of, you know, because what I think is it sounds like they did not have the resources available to properly handle this potential threat. They felt like there was nothing they could do or there was nothing legally that they could do. And so I want to ask you, you know, we have a lot of legislators listening to this show. As a police officer, do you guys have the tools and resources you need to handle those kinds of citizens who will eventually be a risk to themselves or others when you respond?
Well, we go through extensive training from day one. We receive training throughout our careers for mental health issues, but Andrew, at the end of the day, when a person becomes violent, it doesn't really have an effect upon what we do or the tactics that we use in order to neutralize that situation. We can't worry about if somebody, are they just angry? Are they fighting mental health issues? Are they on heavy narcotics? We have to take care of a violent situation immediately. So we have to respond with whatever we are being met with by that individual person. Now, if the person is not violent, then, and we understand that it may be narcotics or a mental health issue, then we approach it that way and try to diffuse the situation. But once it gets violent, then all bets are off. We have to do our jobs to protect the people that are in that area and to protect our officers.
Yeah, I have a follow-up. I'll ask you in just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're traveling again on Highway 29, right at Burgess Road, we're seeing northbound and southbound major delays right there. So just pack your patience with that one. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Just kind of a follow-up on that. I guess what I perceive is this problem. At the very back end, we have people who you actually send through the criminal justice process, and then they get convicted, and then they get let out or diverted or quick terms, and then that's frustrating because these people who are just these repeat offenders, the revolving door at the jail. And then on the front end, it feels like you've got people that the police certainly know are a problem, but especially if they are, you know, mental issues or drug-related issues, but they're not violent yet, that you have your kind of like your hands are tied basically in how you deal with them, even though you get there for the 11th time and they shot somebody and you're like, well, we knew this was coming. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Do you feel like there's any more that could be done to make it possible to prevent that problem?
You know, at this point, I don't think so, Andrew, because
okay.
Having serious mental health issues is not a crime.
Right.
And you can't lock people up because of that. So it's a fine line there, and that's something that has been debated for years and will continue to be debated. You know, even though we might see a situation coming, you know, you can't just lock somebody up for something that you see coming. So,
yeah.
You know, especially when they're fighting mental health issues. So we understand that. We get that. And but unfortunately, that's the world we live in right now. That's how we're going to have to deal with that one step at a time. And, you know, you only see the ones that you hear about that end up going bad. But there are a lot of them that seek treatment that do get better that we don't have issues with anymore.
Very good. Of course, it's been in the news lately that Cassie's law got signed by the governor. So, you know, the provision of safe exchange places for people doing custody, which is, of course, always a little bit of a thing because, you know, people don't get along. But, of course, with Cassie Carley, it turned out to be this horrific thing. PPD, I assume the safe exchange place is going to be at headquarters on Hayne Street?
Yes, we our parking lot is a safe exchange location.
All right, very good. Which is also, in case people forget, if you're doing a transaction for Facebook or something like that, you can, same thing, right?
Yeah, Facebook Marketplace, you feel free to come use our parking lot. You know, if it's like child exchange or something like that, where there could be a little bit more risk, we will have an officer out there to meet you at the parking lot to be there for that.
Very good. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Did you have one for me this week?
Yeah, I do. But before I get to that, let me back up on to this the situation we had Sunday night. I want to be sure and thank Sheriff Simmons and the Sheriff's Department for providing their Bearcat to us. They've been able to do that whenever we've needed it, the Bearcat and the personnel. They did that once again Sunday, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, I actually meant to ask you about that. I'm glad you reminded me. Where are we at on getting ours?
We're still, you know, it's like, you know what it's like to order a fire truck. We're still, because we have specific, we have specific things we need that vehicle to do and options that we have on it. And, you know, unfortunately, you can't just run down to Bob's Bearcat Bonanza and pick one off the lot. You have to order those things, and it takes time for them to come in. So that's where we're at. But I'm sure once it gets here, we're going to let you know, and we're going to make a pretty big deal out of it.
My news guys are upset at me for laughing at your good joke. Bob's Bearcat Bonanza. I ruined the sound clip, but, you know, it happens. That was a great line. All right. Do you have a – I'm sorry. That was so good. Do you have a cop myth for me this week?
Yeah, it's not really a myth. It's a safety thing that we're seeing on these newer vehicles at night. If you get pulled over by the police and they said you didn't have your lights on and you're looking at the dash and it's all lit up and you're wondering why we said that, if these vehicles, if you look at your light switch and you'll see a circle with a slash at the top, and if the setting is on that, that is the problem. So when you turn the vehicle on, you're going to have daytime running lights, so it's going to look like to you you have your headlights on. Your dashboard is going to be lit up, so it's going to look like you have your headlights on, but there's nothing in the back. There's no taillights, and that's why you're being pulled over. So that switch needs to be set on auto. Most of them will have the word auto there. Just make sure the switch is there, and you shouldn't have to worry about it anymore. It should light up on its own all the way around the car as soon as you start it at night.
Very interesting. And I have seen many times that thing where people have their running lights only and they have no taillights. And the running lights are so bright that, you know, you can mistakenly think your headlights are on. And like you said, the dash is lit up too. So very good safety tip. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, helping us understand what's going on in the world and keeping us safe. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. 7:50.